But it was, you know, there's a fine, you know, they're not half bad. When I get over here and start studying religion, you know, I said, their ideas ain't too far from the old ones, except, you know, they're not the heathens and the idolaters that I've been told. And I really had a falling out with what we call Protestantism. And after a while, I said, I don't protest anybody's religion. And then as I get over into this Indian thing, I said, man, your idea is just like that old book that I've been used to reading.
See? Did you get into reading the Bible at Elon, or did you grow up with it pretty strong?
No, not before. Not much before. But I did... Mostly then, you know, I did not grow up with it. There is something to it. I was really having a real bad time with this girlfriend, you know, that I said, you know, that was really diagnosed as schizophrenic. And she was really giving me a bad time. And I went to sleep. And this page or some way, I forgot how it was, or it was a page and a chapter and a verse, a number came to my mind in my sleep, and it was like, I don't remember the numbers now, but I remember exact words, and nobody knows the Bible that well today. And it said, put not thy faith in man, for they will do no good. You know, and the thing was, is that people are not perfect, you know, but that was, you know, so there is a spirit here that will guide us, our spirits, our scads of them. Now, when I make my cornbread, or I make something, or like Nancy said, gave me a halfway roughed in the recipe verbally of beef stroganoff, which is not that complicated, I will listen to little things, another pinch of that, you know, a little more onion, you know, a little more paprika, a touch of salt, and your whole life can become so simple, you know, and spaghetti. You know, you put all kind of stuff in there. But it does require a certain taste. Okay? A little more oregano. See, is that enough? One more shake. You know? So, okay. But really, that's no joke. And because in this spirit realm, there's an expert on everything. But that's that life can get so simple. Because, man, you're never alone, you know, and you might as well forget about that. Unless you want to be, and you can isolate yourself, and you're out there alone. Just get bitter. And if nothing terrible happens to you, you'll just wind up alone. I mean, even worse. That's what this shaman that did the bad thing with about his dog getting killed, and he said, "What I worry about is the death of the spirit." And, you know, what he meant was actually losing what he had. You know, and once you start to worry about that, you start to worry about yourself, then you really hit the skids. And retrieving yourself, that's when it's really gonna, is, you know. And I keep, you know, I've talked to some addicts, and they talk about the devastating effect of drugs and alcohol. That is not only physical, but the spiritual devastation that takes place too. Now, I just got a letter. I sent it to a boy that I'm working with now, that's all at once, crystals. Somebody, he had a desire for, and somebody gave him one. Mm-hmm. And I gave him another one. Then I mailed him five or six. But I mailed him this letter. And a girl that I never knew was addicted. She wrote me a letter and she said, you know, when you met me and you said, I hate to talk about myself, but I'm talking about the way things do. Mm-hmm. She said, and you said I was 17 years old. Her behavior, her energies was that of a 17-year-old. She said, you're right. That was when I got on drugs. She said, once you get on drugs, your emotional maturity stops. Mm-hmm. Now, and now that's her word. Now, somebody else will say something else. But she, everything about her was immature. She had never faced life on her own. Mm-hmm. And she submits somebody that's into crystals, and she said, I'm totally clean now, and she said that this boy that brought her and gave her some crystals, she said he's been clean for 2 years. Now they're living in the mountains. I don't know if they live together. She said it, that he brought the crystals. So, you know, that's none of my concern, but only thing I can ever do is wish her well. But she was on alcohol and drugs both. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, she said, my use of drugs, and she says there's a 12-step program or something, mm-hmm. you know, the AA thing. And she said, I have become to know God, and then she put the Great Spirit mm-hmm. as I would have never known him without him. She's taken something that was bad and turned it into something that was good. So there's a lot of hope for her. Mm-hmm. You ask her questions.
We're going the right direction. Well, there were a few things that I wanted to ask coming up more toward this area. And that was when you moved out of the Bassnown area, like the land, and came up here. Mm-hmm. Was that when you found this house? Is it about that same time?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How, you mentioned that Nancy lived just up the road.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay. When you moved in, how did you get to start meeting people in the community?
I did.
You did.
I still haven't. Now, I know they're there. They know I'm here.
Uh-huh.
And when we're together, there's very little communication because I am no better than they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just from people. I hear this hippie thing. I know where you're coming from. I know where I am. They know where they are,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's it. See, I'm not against anybody. Unless you're hurting something.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all.
So when you were speaking about the surveyor, you were talking about so-and-so's land, so-and-so's land.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, some relationship.
Yeah. It's a respect for everyone, you know. Like I say, unless you're hurting something.
The main question I was wanting to ask you is like, at what point in time you had to seek out the people that were feeling the same way you are.
It must have been. It had to be around 10 years ago. All right, we moved down here, and it had only been here a short time, and I met this Dave. And then Dave was not a pure heart or something of it. His stability and his responsibilities just didn't come up to what I thought that a person that professed to be an Indian should, because I still see it as a religion and not a race.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person's word is no good and he says he's an Indian, I wouldn't even classify him as white. But so I kind of disassociated myself with him, and you know what? Almost instantly, a couple moved in over here, had an old house and built a sweat lodge.
Really?
Yes, it did. And he's Jewish. Mm-hmm. You know, not one of those. But he's one of the most talented, sensitive people I have ever met. Now, they were doing their sweat lodges and burning sage and didn't even have a pipe. And I made him a pipe and gave him a pipe. And from then on, it's been an association with some of the greatest people you can imagine. And it just snowballed.
Mm-hmm.
And the secret to the whole thing is give. And it's you give one thing away, and you give something else, and it's not long. There's an avalanche of gifts. You just about get overwhelmed and swamped with gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And some of the things is like this. Good brother, Don. I'll just say Don from Chapel Hill. He is one of those people that gives. Never a taker. And someone, a crow, boy from out at Denver, gave him a crystal about this tall. And it is that big. Wallace Black Elk has. The Wallace Black, you know Black Elk speaks.
Right.
Now, this man is 75, 77, 8, 9. So now, the prestige of these things is who gives them to you. Like when I give you that, so I'm nothing yet. Okay? Maybe one day I'll be a Wallace White Elk. Sorry. But, no, that's not the idea. But that does mean something that you are in your efforts of being noticed. And that's what it is. And Don got that. Well, the boy, I just got a call from him last night. And the way the good things has happened to me from Virginia, it invited me up. And he has a crystal that's found its way around. And you've heard of Atlantis, that some of the Indians, an Indian legend that they came from Atlantis before it sank, and this crystal is supposed to be of the original ark that was brought from Atlantis on this crystal ship. You know, when you get into these realms, a ship does not have to be a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed it to me, and he said, "What do you think of?" He said, "Could it be?" I said, "They all look alike, but sure it could be, because they're pretty much indestructible unless you beat on them, you know."
Mm-hmm.
But it's all frosted and scuffed up, you know, like it has been around. And he hid it in a little display case. And I'll show you something that I've never showed to another person.
Turn this thing off.
Okay,
turn it back on.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, two seers said, now, this is, I know what you're up to. You're collecting info and stories and whatnot. But two seers told me I had a need to write. So now I'm into writing letters and keeping the contact with people and relaying info and all that kind of stuff. And Ted Silverhand, which is, he's a Tuscarora seer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's intertribal. He's been accepted by 22 different tribes as a seer. And Ted says, asked me, you know, he's talking about my age. And he knew where I was. And he says, yeah, you got good healing hands and so on. And he says, and, you know, you're coming along. And he says, besides, he said, old medicine men don't come into the home until they are 60. 60 are over. So the thing of it is, it takes so much living, so much integrating, and actually knowing what you're talking about, believing what you're talking about, not just mouthing words, because that's easy enough to say, is when I used to spout off Bible quotations. Now they've got a Bible trivia pursuit.
Okay.
Have you seen that on television?
No, no, I haven't. I saw it. Oh. I saw an ad for it, though.
And it's $29. And, you know, and it's like, where was Jesus's favorite waiting spot or something? And how you can do that to something that I know is sacred, it has power. It's like the thing when the verse and so on. You know, there's even a verse in there that you can actually stop blood with. And it's Ezekiel 6:16 or something like that. And it says something about to the effect that when I passed by you and saw you wasting in your own blood, and I said to you, when you waste in thine own blood or something, live. And then it repeats that. Now, see that my finger?
Mm-hmm.
I was digging up some quartz crystals up here. Now, they're not as clear. And that one of the first things I did, when that stuff breaks, it's glass. You know, it's glass. Cut my finger. And I just took and dripped blood around in this hole, you know. And then I just squeezed it and stopped it from bleeding and went on and kept digging. But here again, your thoughts is an extension of you. So we can heal each other, we can make each other sick. And also, you can use it on yourself. The same thing. I'm a people, you know. Mm-hmm. I hope. It's practical. It's handy. It sounds like it's sacrilegious to say it is, but it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see any conflict at all.
You know? And like I say, in giving, in order to receive, you must give first. Well, that's, you know, if you do it in the right spirit, it's this thing, the Magnificent Obsession. I don't know if you saw the movie, but Rock Hudson. Did I tell you about that?
No, I don't think so.
Rock Hudson was in the movie, and he noticed this old man, everything went right for him. So Rock Hudson got to know his daughter, and he says, well, Mary Bell, he says, why is your daddy always so prosperous, and he's always giving things away? And she said, well, that's the secret to it. He gives. And see, he had doctored on somebody, the person was poor and couldn't pay him. Then later on, the person might come around, you know, after he got his income tax return check, you know, and he'd say, Doc, here's that $25. He said, no. And the doctor would say, no, it's all used up. And refuse payment. And Rock Hudson, you know, he's like, man, that's the secret. So he went down and borrowed $25 or $50 at the bank, you know, and comes back and gives it away and sits down and waits to be happy. Mm-hmm. He waits and he says, what do you mean? I got hustled. I ain't happy yet. Well, he hadn't reached the right stage.
That's right.
But you do have to give freely in order to receive. And that's the secret to any philosophy or whatever. You know, there's so many things that you can read. And the thing, one of those passages in the Sermon on the Mountain, mm-hmm. He says, about, man, I got lost in that part. Oh, yeah. It says, it says that people will come. Many shall come and few shall enter herein. And he said, then the people will plead, well, look, I've cast out devils in your name. You know? He said, look, I deserve a passage, you know? And he said, And he said, depart me ye from me, ye workers of iniquity, I've never known you. Well, you see, you've got preachers now, okay, that they can be mouthing the words and cause you to heal yourself, see, without ever feeling it in their heart. Because the healing is still up to you. He still is in you. It's like you can lay the crystals down around the person, but still the healing is in the patient. Now we can leave the good feelings around them, but they have to change their attitude that made them sick. Now I read all of this stuff on healing, and one of them is, it says there's no healing, permanent healing, without a change in attitude. And we have to change our attitudes if we want to be well. And that's why doctors take people, come in, they used to make house calls. But an old shaman, he did not go out and heal unless the person couldn't make it in. He would go treat him in his sick bed, and then only at the person's request. And he knew then that the person really wanted to get well. You know, it's not that he was being independent or hard to get along with. He just knew people
and wanted that commitment.
And so many people just go into the doctor for the attention. So they stay sick in order to get that attention. See? Where, you know, if their family or friends would take up a little more time with them, you could do the same thing the doctor's doing, it's free.
Yeah, I've always felt it. I could probably accomplish as much on my own. And when I go into the doctor, I don't see any speeding up of the healing.
No. Well, most things, you know, these minor things, he'll give you a prescription last 7 days. You know, that takes you time to either to get over some trauma, you know, emotional, whatever. That a cold runs its course. So does poison ivy that I just got some in my hand. I was pulling up some grass and got a poison ivy bush in with it. See, it's lost its leaves now, and you don't see it. It's just a little twig sticking up. And that pays me back for yanking that grass up by the roots. Which, I hate to cut the lawn in, now. Because you become part of everything, and everything is part of you. But I try to make, you know, kind of justify that. That when I do something that I know is hurting something else, I try to compensate some other way. Sure. You know, I'll give back to life words, thoughts. And hope that everything washes itself out, you know, in the process. Because it's hard to live like Jesus said, he that liveth and sinneth not, says he liveth and sinneth not, is a liar and the truth is not in him. Well, to say that you live without hurting something else is the same thing. But you bite down on a carrot goes, yowch! I just lost my stem. Okay? Nancy had a sister, was a beautiful, bright, sensitive person. She was killed in a wreck in California. But we were at the table one day, and Gail was sitting there looking in her plate, and great big tears came in her eyes. And I knew Gail well, and I asked her later what it was. She was looking at those cut vegetables. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she started to think what had happened. And she was in a terrible wreck. But it was one of those things that when we learn our lesson, or either it's quite apparent to the great one that we're not going to learn them, that I think that we're pulled out. And maybe we study for a while and come back and try it over. But hers, I think that life was too painful in the sensitive state she was in. The other one lived. She had two sisters when this terrible wreck. And the other one seemed like everything about her was broken. Gail was sitting in the back seat and was still killed. Mm-hmm. And I was in the front seat. And Nina was so guilt-ridden because she lived and Gail died. And Gail had a little girl back home, you know, back here. And some people don't think much of Ouija boards. But I had some good results while we were at a friend's house. And I bought one. And I didn't make a big issue over it. And Nina, the one that lived, She said, she came walking and just said, "Bruce, you have still had your Ouija board?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Would you like to use it?" And I said, "Well, now Ouija boards, have y'all ever seen one of them?"
"Oh, yeah, yeah."
"Okay, so I took, do you know how to use a Ouija board?"
"If I remember correctly, it's just, it's usually two people."
"Okay, that's part of it. Well, you take your board aside, and maybe I took it in yonder in what's the den, and I said, look, if there's anything evil on the other side, just leave it there. I said, I'm just talking to this board, you know. I said, because this is a good woman, and she's heard enough. So we got two chairs over there, and sat down and got them leveled. When we started, she says, ask it some questions. I said, no. I said, you're the one that wants to know. So she asked it something other. Do I have a guardian angel? And the thing says, yes. Which you can only get a yes or no. And she said, what's its name? And it spelled out Mary or Rachel or something like that. And she said, is there a message for me? And the thing said, she said, who is it from? And it said, G-H-I-L, which spelled Gail. And she said, what is the message? Now, it said, and it was the way they used to talk to each other. I didn't know that. She's in this message, said, I am still your sister, S-E-S-T-E-R. I love you. Forgive me. Hold the fort. Now, and we were sitting there, and tears just streaming out of Nina's eyes, you know. And Nina went in there, and I could hear her talking to Nancy at the gift counter. And I called her, I said, Nina, and she came to the arts there. I said, what do you think your message? She said, I needed that. But the guilt was about to wreck her marriage. By then she had $2 and a big strapping understanding husband. But when people feel guilty, their guilt is so overpowering, they can't deal with other problems. See, how can I tend to you when I'm hurting myself? But her, she was so guilt-ridden before. I hated to see her coming. It was like, how dare you appear and destroy my domestic tranquility? You know, there are people you hate to see coming. You know, and you're what they need because they're hurting. But here again, they are the secret to their own salvation. You know. And she would just, oh, man. Oh.